This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. For your Monday. Good to have you with us today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. A lot to get to today. But we're going to start off with Cliff Schechter. Of course, Unprecedented is the podcast. You can listen to that via the Patreon stream there, as well as also he is Blue Am Strategies has relaunched. They're doing ads in English, Spanish, and also one of the only the three firms that did ads for Biden last year. So a top-notch organization, Blue Am Strategies. I'll link to that a little bit later on. Cliff is kind enough today to join us about what's going to start happening tomorrow. Hi, Cliff.
I like that voice. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. What? Of course, tomorrow the 1-6 Commission gets going. And long overdue, frankly, considering what exactly happened on 1-6, obviously.
Yeah.
But I want to start off by making sure we understand the playing field, because as the Republicans are going crazy, I actually think that the Pelosi and the Democrats gave them too much power. At least they tried to. And twice the Republicans voted down a bipartisan commission on the 1-6, which would have allowed them to bring in Jim Jordan and all these people to kind of derail it. They insisted they were incensed by it. And now they have basically painted themselves into a corner to where now this is going to happen, whether they like it or not. And there's going to be a lot of ugly information, I think, that comes out to the public.
Yes. And it needs to. And it couldn't be better for our democracy and worse for them. This was never going to end in a good way for them. I'm not sure why all the posturing. I'm not sure why all the kind of fighting. I mean, I suppose they're just throwing more red meat to their base as if they need to do any more with, you know, the idiocy around, ooh, critical race theory is coming to get your kids and your cats and, you know, maybe your plants and whatever else they're talking about this week. I mean, it's this constant stream of sort of freaking out their base, right? But I mean, on this, I don't think people are going to pay attention to sort of what the details are in the way they would like them to, not most people. So, you know, in some way, there was going to be a commission that was going to look at things that you guys did. And a number of you are quite obviously complicit in it. You know, obviously starting with Donald Trump and those around him, but in Congress, those like Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs and Matt and Mo Brooks, who either spoke at these things or were you know, involved with some of these characters. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, the two goofballs who have hung out with in the time since and the time did in the time before, people that actually showed up and raided our Capitol, attacked it, committed sedition. And my guess is we're going to find a ton more connections here because the far right has been so integrated in the Republican Party, the Proud Boys, the neo-Nazi right, the incels, the rest of these groups, that they're almost synonymous. Right. I mean, they've almost become the same organism. So my guess is there's a lot of complicity there. And the fact that there's still even a couple decent Republicans left means that they always are going to lose this because, you know, whether we can guess what her reasoning is or what it isn't. But Liz Cheney quite clearly didn't go for all this and wants to get to the bottom of it. And by the way, her name's Cheney. People have heard of that name before. She's not some random Republican. And Adam Kinzinger has made a name for himself. He's an Air Force veteran. He's somebody who came in as a Tea Party, you know, darling. He's not going to be as easy, you know, to attack either. And they're now both on the commission. They both want to know what's up. And the truth of the matter is Republicans have so gone after them so personally that they've got something to settle too. So I don't see anything good coming of this for them. They've taken something that already was going to be bad and they've made it worse.
Well, and let's go to Mo Brooks because he, you know, and you and I talked about this the last time you were on the air. Mo Brooks has admitted something which is pretty stunning, is that he said, well, I was told to get these people there by the Trump campaign. And so he's already kind of laying the foundation of the, you know, the Nuremberg trials, I was following orders sort of thing. But he's right. But he clearly is, hey, I'm just a part of the party. Party told me we wanted to get Trump, all his supporters out there. So, you know, I, even though I indeed did say get out there and throw the red meat at these people, I was only doing what Trump said, which is a huge admission because, once again, there's Mo Brooks saying this came from the top. You know, it, and I think at the end of the day, I know that a lot of Republicans, why they're so infuriated about this is because they don't want to be seen as being a traitor. But there comes a point where you're in a courtroom or you're under oath and you're going to have to admit, well, yeah, I was told to rile up the troops and get them over to Washington, D.C. on the 6th to try to storm the Capitol. And you know, and at the end of the day, they don't want anything to do with it. Not necessarily because they're guilty, but because they don't want to see how that makes them look to the rest of the Republican Party.
Or, you know, the rest of the human race.
Exactly. Well, they don't care about them. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, look at these clowns. They don't really care about any Democrat or independent. They only care about their base basically getting back into office.
Well, that's true. But their base, are, you know, and luckily for them, a lot of the House districts are gerrymandered like crazy. But some of these guys, when suburban, white, well-educated Americans used to be Republicans, remember that? As recently as a decade ago, gerrymandered to create themselves those districts. And they're still, you know, they still have to win people that no longer consider themselves Republicans in those districts. So you're right. The only people they really care about are their base. But some of these folks have to actually win people who are not in their base to win, or at least not them, have them be so offended by the stench of sedition, which is what we're looking at here, and creating a violent atmosphere that led to the death of and suicide of a number of Capitol police officers, and the gouging, stabbing, beating, stamping, punching of, you know, 140 others by the supposed pro-police party, that, you know, that all is going to come forward, and there are going to be emotional stories. I'd be shocked if you don't have, you know, Brian Sicknick's, you know, widow speaking. What was the other one? Oh, it was a horrible story. I can't think of her name right now. Whose husband committed suicide a few days afterwards and was so distraught over it that she asked for that bipartisan commission they rejected. You know, there are going to be all sorts of people like this that are going to, they're going to come forward and testify. And they're going to call for some of the Jim Jordans to do it, you know, to have to come forward. So, I mean, they can try all their sort of clown tricks in the world. But, I mean, there's a reason that they're doing what they're doing. There's a reason they suppress votes. There's a reason they're trying to basically shut down polling places, you know, in all these states and make sure that people can't vote in black neighborhoods, in brown neighborhoods, in often white, well-educated neighborhoods, because they can't win people anymore in most places. Because that's how gross they've become. You know, yeah. It's not much really more complicated than that. And this thing is going to blow that wide open. Some of them may end up going to prison out of it. Certainly some of them may have to leave office for it. And again, they've just made it worse with their behavior, but this is what they always do.
The, you know, and then let's talk, I mean, you brought up already Cheney and Kinzinger volunteering basically to be a part of this committee, being asked to be a part of it by Speaker Pelosi. They say they're going to be part of it. As you say, I think the Cheney connection, obviously as a former vice president, I mean, Dick Cheney was not a nice guy. But I don't think he shot
his friends in the face. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
he had his faults. There are some minuses. But he also did, this is not the sort of thing Cheney would have gone for as the vice president. His daughter clearly feels the same way. Kinzinger, a very toss up district, and he's shown that he is much more of a moderate, much more like 80s moderate Republican. You know, the fact that these two people are on this, I mean, once again, their entire argument was it's only Democrats. Well, outside of those two, but even today, McCarthy is trying to label them as Pelosi Republicans.
Right.
You know, it is interesting. Are we at a moment, a Whig Party moment with the Republicans where they, you know, the Whig Party put out a pro-slavery stance and, you know, alienated a lot of Whigs who basically left and formed at that point the Republican Party and said we're anti-slavery. Are we at that point now where McCarthy is like, okay, if you're going to be a member of the Republican Party, Trump never has lied. Trump has never deceived. Trump is always the God, and Trump ranks above the country and God and Jesus and everyone else. And that is just, that's the hierarchy you have to take, because if they do that, that's going to have some pretty serious consequences, especially when it comes to moderate Republicans.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is again, they're realizing this. And so, what you see them doing is in every place where they possibly can, winning through non-democratic means. You know, they're either purging people, off of voting rolls, or they're changing rules for elected officials after they've gotten in power. They've done that in North Carolina and Wisconsin, where we've elected Democratic governors, or they're using a filibuster, something that was not in the Constitution, was an accidental creation, and has been abused by McConnell in a way used 90% of the time it's been used in our histories by Mitch McConnell. You know, or they're gerrymandering seats, or they're putting on, you know, people like Brett Kavanaugh without allowing the FBI to do an actual investigation of 4,500 tips, which we all learned about this man's behavior. They're not allowing them to do real investigations into some of these authoritarians they're stuffing on the bench, or they're trying to put them on for a lifetime. I hope we revisit Kavanaugh and get a chance to impeach him. They would have already had a Whig Party moment if there was anything closely resembling sort of, fair elections. It's that already they've so benefited from the way our Senate and our Electoral College is set up, an accident, you know, of history that's benefited them. And then you add on top of that all the anti-democratic measures they've taken. It's the only reason that they even exist in the form they're in today. I mean, they're a clear minority of the country. You know, they hail from, in the end, the most productive states by GDP and every other measure in this country, health and everything, are all Democratic states. I mean, they're the sort of the rump end. And so, yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is if any of those sort of that house of cards falls so that they're not able to get themselves elected by drawing their own district lines, or, you know, they can stop places like Puerto Rico and D.C. and, frankly, a number of our other territories, U.S. Virgin Islands, all these places that absolutely deserve to have U.S. senators, not just because of partisan politics, they deserve it because they deserve representation. We're deciding on things like whether they should get funds after hurricanes hit, whatever, and they have no vote, which is ridiculous. I think we're a little bit past the time of territories being, you know, culturally acceptable. So, I mean, you know, but that's why they're trying to stop all of that, because the truth is that if people are represented in their actual views, and, you know, they have no chance. They clearly are the Whigs right now. They're just finding levers of power and anti-constitutional methods to hold on. So one of two things, you know, one of three things will happen, right? They'll massively change, which I don't see happening. They'll be absolutely destroyed and become the Whigs, as you just said, or will no longer be a democracy. Those are really the only three choices I can see here.
And I'll get back to the 1-6 Commission here, but I guess this brings up an interesting question. There are in the suburbs of America, there are a lot of moderate Republicans who very apprehensively have gone with Trump because that's just the way they are. They're still in love with the Reagan mentality of you always follow the leaders of the party, that sort of thing. But here you've gotten to the point now. It's like, what was the rumor today that Biden was denied access to the White House on the inauguration day? He's been living in a fake version of the White House on Tyler Perry's property down in Georgia. This is what these people say. Isn't there value in, if you're a suburban Democrat, finding your neighbors who are the old school Reagan moderates and going to them as, this is your party? This is your party that you're not even welcome anymore. You're still going to vote, because let's face it, if we start making the moderates Republicans realize that party is no longer representing them, that's going to create a lot of problems, not only here in Minnesota or in Ohio where you're at, but across the country, especially when it comes to in states where they need the suburban vote to go Republican to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, but the thing is I don't know if you're seeing it, you know, in the suburbs, I think you are, Minneapolis, but look, I've seen it here already. You know, I live in an area, and I don't live, technically, I live in a part that's a part of the city of Cincinnati, but it really very much is like a more suburban outer ring area. And there, you know, I've seen it here with all the folks that were Romney Republicans, you know, a decade ago, who now, I mean, some of the people I knew and who I thought were ardent Republicans then want nothing to do with that party. I mean, and again, this isn't sort of a, hey, one or two people. This is dozens of people I know, including in this case, in one case around here, the wife of a former sort of county official who actually was on a statewide ballot at one point. I know, who I know personally, is voting straight Democrat. You know, like they've lost all these kinds of executives that would be in a place like Procter & Gamble or Kroger, some of the big businesses here, which I assume, you know, up there, maybe it's Target or whatever.
3M, Target, Best Buy, those are our main ones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like those kinds of executives, I mean, everything that they are for in what they do, which is why there's big war against, you know, why the Republicans are now attacking companies, even though they have always claimed to be the party of private enterprise, all the things that these companies are for, equality and protecting the environment, the Republicans are so anti-science and anti-progress and all of these things, It's a complete mismatch. And I mean, again, no, I mean, we've just started the premise we never talk about, which is how many votes they've purged to manage to win elections they shouldn't win over the last 30 years. You know, close elections probably in some places they should have lost. Certainly presidential ones like Bush and Trump. But you know what? Like, it's local officials, it's statewide officials, and as they lose more and more people, if they can't keep doing this stuff, they will be the Whigs. Because at this point, like, they don't seem to be able to get out of their own way. And again, to bring it back to where this began, the 1-6 commission is a perfect example. Can you imagine if, you know, 50 Republicans in the House, all the ones at least who didn't vote to overturn the election results, stood up and said, we absolutely, you know, the ones that voted in favor of the committee, instead of just voting in favor of the committee, basically stood up as a union and said, like, we won't support anything else you do unless we have this committee. But this committee is you know, integral to our democracy, to understand what the hell went on that day, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe if they'd done that, but they won't. They're all too scared to, except for maybe this dozen or so that voted for Trump's impeachment. And so that will be interesting, too, because it isn't just, you know, it isn't just Kinzinger and Cheney. It'll be interesting to see what a couple of the ones, you know, Meyer and Upton, who both voted for impeachment from Michigan. You know, a number of these folks are not just, they're not coastal. They're not going to be easy to write off. I had a feeling they'd be saying something like New York Republicans, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Again, with Pelosi Republicans is the best they could do. They're going to say, you know, Fred Upton, who's been a longtime Republican from Michigan, you know, a head ranking member and chair of committees. Now, yeah, I guess he's a Pelosi Republican, too. They'll do that to you know, they'll try to do that to all these other ones. But, you know, it gets tougher and tougher when your circle gets smaller and smaller and nobody's pure enough for you.
Well, and they've poisoned the Cheney name, for God's sakes. They're trying to poison that. All right, going back to tomorrow, let's do a preview here. Obviously, if you're the Democrats, you come in, just you start showing people, you just basically play some of these you know, video, you know, montages that have been produced already, where they talk about, you know, you start a few months beforehand with Republicans saying, get to the Capitol. You start playing some of the speeches from the 1-6. You go on out there. You then start showing people breaking down barriers, beating police officers, bear spraying people, stealing stuff at the Capitol, breaking windows. And then basically at the end of it, have Trump say, I love you. Go home. I mean, at that point, it becomes a very...
You're special.
You're
wonderful people.
Yes. Right. If you start like that, it becomes incredibly difficult for the Republicans to just kind of, oh, this was tourists. They're going to try. They're going to try everything. They're frantic. They're desperate to keep this from going any forward. What do you see coming up tomorrow?
Well, I mean, you know, that's what I would expect. I mean, again, if I'm putting this thing together, if I'm choreographing it, the opening would be, we've seen a couple of those powerful videos. I would make it so they would literally have to leave the room. I mean, I would put together a 5 to 10 minute video of this kind of footage. And it's all out there.
Yeah.
And torturing police officers, attacking them, you know what I mean? Yelling, threatening, spraying, and all these. I mean, I might even, again, like, I would have that be what I do, what we begin with, almost like the lead, but then I would go back and show how we've built up to this, the rhetoric of Trump and, frankly, some of his acolytes. And I would bring Fox News into it, too, for that matter. Put them on trial. You know, some of the commentators who these guys are close with. But I would show how, from their side, the kind of rhetoric leading up to the 6th and the kind of actions they took, because we forget this stuff so easily. You know, most people don't even know. I wrote an article about this, about the 6th, and I wrote about how, you know, increasingly the violence perpetrated against law enforcement by Republicans. And I made a point in the article, I wrote this for the Daily Beast, an article of, like, I was looking at one from nearly a decade ago in Ohio, where there was a plan by a bunch of militia members, Ohio and Michigan militia members, to kill law enforcement and attack judges and other things, whatever. And I came across one from, like, maybe 6 months ago that I didn't even know existed, because that's how often this stuff happens. I would literally get all of those together, tying their rhetoric into these far-right groups that have planned these attacks constantly. Show what they did out in Oregon. Do you remember when they took over that government building?
Yeah.
And Bundy and all that. Show what they did in Michigan, where they had a plan to kill the governor and kill police officers around here and whatever. Build all of it up. You know, I would literally have the soundtrack to all of it be what was going on, the audio of January 6th that day. And I would intersperse video that day of all the stuff they've done and said, Trump's speeches and the rest of it, inciting riot and trying to rile people up, lying about our election results, lying about God knows how many other things, and getting us to that point.
You know,
that is what I would do. And then I would interview, again, as I said, spouses, family members of some of the officers. You know, I would interview experts on terrorism and policing and other things. You know, I would interview, and I would obviously, as many people as you get to flip, who heard, saw. I mean, there's, again, I don't know. We're going to find out what Liz Cheney knows, but she knows things.
Oh, yeah. Well, they all do. The fact that, remember how many people were confronting them saying, you guys did this. There clearly was a lot of behind-the-scenes conversations that had gone on that these people were aware of that did not get out to the public.
Correct. I mean, we went through the timeline of it when it came out, what General Milley said, comparing the you know, fearing a Reichstag moment,
yep,
in his words. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from Trump. By the way, he needs to be on the interview in that
case. Oh, he will be. I think he will be.
Thank you. And yeah, of course. And then also having, you know, his comment referring to these, the ones who were the folks who were there as brown shirts and all that. Well, I started looking up some of the kind of and doing comparisons of some of the timelines of this for our show. And it's just you'll start seeing these sort of this pattern come together. So it makes sense that, for example, you know, when I say Liz Cheney knows more, it's not an accident that an op-ed appears in the Washington Post from at that time, you know, every living former defense secretary that was organized by Dick Cheney reminding,
yes,
the military of what their duty is, which is to protect civilian democracy. All right. You don't just, we all the time are like, what? And when Milley was making all these warnings, a couple, we know now from this book Behind Closed Doors.
Yeah.
It was within a couple of days that Trump was firing all these folks at the Defense Department, putting his people in. Like, this stuff all lines up. Milley was seeing all this stuff.
Liz Cheney
had to be seeing this stuff, which is why she went to her dad, or she was talking with her dad about things, which is why they wrote that letter that they wrote. I mean, it's all out there if they really want to get it.
He saw the stink coming, and he saw what they, yes, were doing. They were setting up the Defense Department to allow this a storming of the Capitol and to stand, sure, down. And yeah, it is ugly. I want to make sure everyone out there listening to us, Cliff Schechter and I, we are on the side of America. We are on the side of this country. We are on the side of the principles this country is based on, which is not storming the Capitol when you're a sore loser and you lose a frickin' election. And those are the traitorous bastards on the other side. We're the side for America. The other side isn't. Let's make sure we always keep that in perspective.
We should. I mean, again, I get so tired of this. This isn't a liberal versus conservative thing. I don't agree with Liz Cheney probably politically on almost anything.
You and I think there's like one thing, and this is it. You right. And I, we agree.
What I do agree with, you know, and maybe even she'd argue with me, but what my feelings are, this is an imperfect country that has done some terrible things and yet also was a beacon of hope that whose constitution laid forward a path that many other countries have followed. And so we look at the positives, we look at the negatives. Our constitution ended up setting up a system that where we could make ourselves better and we could always improve and we can, you know, but the key thing about it is I grew up as you did, I'm sure. And as other people did, believing in the promise of this country, the power of this country. That's not my liberal political beliefs, of which I have too, and I'm proud of. But it's the fact that we have a constitution, we have rules, we have laws, we live by them. And if you really believe that this country is great or can be great, then you live by them too.
Yeah.
And the minute you're willing to overthrow it all, don't tell me about your patriotism.
No.
Just don't even open your mouth and go there.
Don't even talk about the flag. I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran. Don't you dare, because there are certain things you stand up for in this country, and overthrowing the government because you want to install your golden idol as king is not one of them. Absolutely. Cliff, outstanding as always. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Cliff Schechter, once again, yep. Daily Beast, find his articles there. Unprecedented, the podcast. If you're not subscribed, I mean, you just, there's the reason why you subscribe, for God's sakes. It's just brilliant. And Blue Am Strategies, only one of the three of messaging firms that worked with Joe Biden last year. They're back up working. If you have some messaging questions, I'll put out the link for Blue Amp a little bit later on. Cliff, as always, anytime you have, I always love you having you on my show here.
I just appreciate you inviting me on, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. Dave, we'll get your call after the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the always out-freaking-standing Cliff Schechter. My show is better when he is on it. Period. Undeniably. 952-946-6205. Dave, thanks for holding for as long as you have. Welcome on into the show.
Hey, Matt. It's your biggest fan in the world, Dynamo Dave, guys, calling you. Say, You know, you're aware that there's 17 intelligence agencies in the U.S.?
Quite a few, yes.
Yeah, 17. And we only hear in, like, the mainstream press about the FBI, CIA, and the NSA. And it's like, okay, what do the other 14 do? What are they doing with our taxpayer money?
Well,
those people are in touch. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and Dave, I'm not sure. And thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call, and thank you for holding. I know, like, I think the Secret Service is considered part of the investigative core. I mean, they investigate counterfeit crimes. You get the Postal Service as part of it. They investigate mail crimes. There are multiple different agencies, and I know there are clandestine agencies too. And there's clandestine agents we don't even know about. And let's be honest about it.
I think where Dave was going is, yeah, why didn't these other agencies get intelligence about 1/6?
Because the people, the civilian contractors, it's becoming very clear. And Cliff referred to this. It's becoming very clear that the Trump administration in the last half of last year installed loyalists into a lot of the communications positions that work between departments to purposely shut down communication. Because there were people at the FBI saying, you guys are aware what's about to happen at the Capitol, right? I mean, we're getting a lot of chatter here. For God's sakes, they posted it all on Parler. I mean, we knew it was coming. And yet the Defense Department's argument is, well, I didn't see a problem. The police didn't ask me pretty please for help. It's pretty clear what was going on. Now, also, it should be mentioned, and I think, you know, Brett, this is a fair statement to make. There's a lot of clandestine agencies that don't really have to do their purview. Their oversight has not to do with Washington, D.C., the Capitol. It's overseas stuff. It's embassy stuff. It's spy stuff that they're not necessarily there for. There are domestic there are people that are focusing on domestic problems, for sure. But I think you'd be, you know, when you're talking about all the different agencies, some agencies do fall into line here, some don't. But no, his point, this is why the Republicans are terrified. Someone posted this meme out today about this, and I thought this was great. If you really truly believe Antifa was behind this, then why are you against the 1/6 commission? Because in your mind, this is going to prove, yeah, this was Antifa. But yet, as the Republicans scream, Antifa! This was Antifa! Then they say, but we're not going to look into it. Why not? I mean, this is your villain number one. This is your public enemy. This is the people you hate the most. And you've been screaming about Antifa for years. And now all of a sudden your argument is, well, this was really Antifa infiltrating Trump supporters. Let's go get them. Okay, let's have a commission. Oh, well, what's done is done. We want to move on. Really? Because it would seem to me that you would want to prove this was Antifa if it really was. And you guys are the ones frantically trying to shut this thing down. That's on you. But it does bring up an interesting point. Now, I want to talk about the mindset of the modern Republican. And I think it's very important where this is going. Now, this is why that question I asked Cliff Schechter, is it time for you if you live in a metro area and you live in the first or second or tertiary suburbs, is it time for you to start going to your conservative, moderate Republican, old style 1980s Republican neighbors who begrudgingly have gone along with Trump and his nightmarish thing because you still believe in that Reagan mandate of, just to always stay loyal to the party, never speak ill of the party, you always go with it. Is it time for you to start going to those moderate Republicans and saying, is this really the party that you want to be part of? Is this really where you want to go? And what you have to understand is the more extreme elements – not all. I'm very clear here. I am not talking, fiscal conservatives, to a point, I understand your point. I disagree with it. But, and it's proven by fiscal conservatism getting us a massive budget deficit and handing most of the money over to the wealthy people. You're not fiscal conservatives. You're welfare hounds for the wealthy, and that's all it is. So you've broken yourself. So I don't really understand you. Moderates, to a point, I get you. You know, you have some ideas. I mean, especially when they were like Jesse Ventura. It's like, I'm socially liberal, fiscally conservative. But is this really the party that you want to be part of? As they get ready to likely throw Kinzinger and Cheney out of the party for daring to, I don't know, trying to find out why there was an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol? So I'm going to preface this by saying I stopped watching, and this is going to seem like it comes out. You'll understand where I'm going with this when I get done, okay? I stopped watching these true live detective, you know, crime things like Dateline because they get to be too heartbreaking because there clearly is the moment where the person who's about to commit the crime is faced with the reality that they have to either stop what they're doing, face reality, whatever the case may be. Let me just give you an example. You get the guy who's married with two kids. He's not happy. He's in a bad relationship. Meets this girl. Pretends he's single. Pretends he doesn't have a wife. Or tells her, "Oh, I'm getting divorced. I'm not going to have this. Is not something I want." And gets into a hot and heavy relationship with this girl on the side. Realizes that he's got a big problem here. He's addicted to the girlfriend now. Can't stand his wife, can't stand being a parent, can't stand this. And, of course, then all of a sudden the girlfriend's like, "Well, when are we going to get married and start having kids?" And, of course, he's addicted to that. And he says, comes to a point where the reality should kick in. He says, "Okay, here's the deal. I got to get divorced, and let me get this taken care of, and we'll work through this and go through it." And I'm not saying divorce is great. Divorce is horrible on everyone. But, you know, unless it's one of those abusive relationships where you basically have someone, you know, needs to get out of that relationship for sure. But still, it's a hard path to go down. That's for sure. But still, you grow up and you become an adult, realize you can't go any further down this path. You have to face reality. You're having an affair on your spouse and you're going to do it. And unfortunately, what happens in a lot of these crime shows is the inability of the individual to realize the lie is the lie, and they've convinced themselves the lie is the truth. And so what they end up doing is killing their wife and kids. And you're like, "Holy God," because this guy's addiction to the fake relationship is more important than the real world that does exist. And there, you know, and they clearly are. There comes that point where that after the fact, they sit there and they'll try to justify it. They'll try to make an argument. But it you know, only when it's them sitting in a cell on either death row or in jail for the rest of their lives, where they're sitting there saying, "Well, you know, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have done that," that they come to realize that they had crossed a line. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. That's why I don't watch those shows, because it's always just terrifying to watch. Someone is like, "Okay, now's the time to be an adult, get a divorce. Oh, no, you're killing your wife and kids. Holy crap. Oh, my God. What are you doing? What are you doing?" The Republican Party today is being controlled by this far-right extremism that is trying desperately to get to an end point. And the end point is, and I'm about to scare some people, but I am dead serious, this is where the far right of the Republican Party has been wallowing. They want to start shooting Democrats. And I'm not joking. That is who these people are. This weekend, Michael Flynn was at a church in Yuba City, California, church, where he was given a gift of an assault weapon in a church in California. And when he got said assault weapon at a church in Yuba, California, he said, "I'm going to maybe go and assassinate someone in Washington, D.C. To the raucous applause and cheers in a church in Yuma City, Arizona, or in Yuba City, California. I think it's Yuba City, California. I believe correctly. I've got the link to the story up on both the social media pages. They applauded the idea of assassinating government officials in a church, because all those people in there, that's their end game. Yay! Yay! Because they're at the point where, oh my God, you're having an affair. Oh my God, you're trying to overthrow the government. Oh, my God, they rejected Donald Trump. Oh, my God, no, they didn't. We're going to basically know. They were going to show that that was where they meant to go. And it failed. And they all were stupid idiots, because, once again, the new mantra everyone needs to make sure we understand about the far right in this country: they're not clever. They're really, really stupid. but they've been enabled. And I'll get to that in just a little bit. I'm looking at you, Star Tribune. I'll get to that in a second. But they have gotten to this point where it's time for them to be the adult and say, holy God, what were we doing? No. We didn't mean to try to overthrow the government. Donald Trump is not the iconic leader that we need to have. This could destroy the party. We were wrong. We need to move on. Let's have the 1-6 investigation, punish the guilty parties, and move on. That would be the adult thing. But instead, because these people on the far right of the Republican Party are so determined to basically turn this country into some sort of civil war where they can justify doing, you know, shooting Democrats and arresting Democrats and killing Democrats and saying, yeah, you know, it was a case. They are getting to the point now where they're trying to get fantastical again with their stories. Madison Crawford, the representative from North Carolina, went out there and said, Dr. Fauci, people encouraging vaccines door to door, we're really there to steal your Bibles, steal your guns. We've had people there that are trying to harvest your DNA. They're trying to put a microchip in you. They want to kill your grandma. They want reparations. They want to take your money. They want to take your house. They want to take your farm. They want to do this. Are you going to let them? And they keep coming up with these fantastical stories. Why are they keep coming up? Well, part of it is because they feel as if by saying something they think is clever, but is really, really, really stupid, that they're owning the libs. Because we say, wow, did you just suggest that Joe Biden was not allowed to get into the White House on the inauguration day, so he's been living in a replica White House on Tyler Perry's estate in Atlanta for the last... Because that's crazy. And it's like, you say, wow, that's crazy. They say, see, owning the libs, by pointing out you're crazy. But they live in this little hermetically sealed bubble where they say to themselves, see, we can say these things and we'll just... and there's no consequences. But they clearly are ramping up this rhetoric again to, you know, I didn't want to have to shoot all my neighbors who were liberals, but, you know, they were about to do the genetic, you know, alterations to the lizard people, and the lizard people were going to eat my brain. And so I had to stop the lizard people from eating my brain. And there comes this point where the fantastical story that they have created becomes the justification without any evidence, without any proof for their actions. That they create a fantastical story and in turn justify their action. I had to shoot the neighbors, the lizard people, for God's sakes, you know. Who's going to stop the lizard people, Matt? I had to stop the lizard. We all know the lizard people is going to happen. That guy who over there, he works at an auto parts store, and he's got a rainbow flag. I had to shoot him because, you know, he was working in the back of that auto parts store, and he was building up a genetically altered lizards that were going to eat my brain. I mean, I really had no chance. Thank God I saved America. And that is who these people are. And that's where this is going right now. And trust me when I say this, that is not an easy thing to say, but there's a lot of people on the far right who keep putting up gun fetish memes about we're waiting for you, we're ready. They're ready to start shooting. They want the justification. So they keep working themselves up with lie after lie after lie, fantastical story after fantastical story after fantastical story, because they're basically trying to create the justification for breaking the law as they know. And it happens on these larger scale issues, as I mentioned, with they're stealing your guns, they're going to steal yours, they're going to take everything away, to lesser things too. And you have to understand that the lesser things, it doesn't, just because it's a lesser thing, doesn't mean it doesn't have the implication and it doesn't have the ability. And it's only when these people are called out on a national stance where the church in California, like, oh, you know, just for the record here, you know, it's Jesus-fearing people, even though we applauded and laughed and gave them an assault weapon, you know, we're not for assassinating people. Oh, are you? Your version of Christianity cuts the line there. Oh, thank God. We're relieved. That, you know, and so you do have it once again, and I want to make sure we understand this is not all Republicans. It's the far right. But the far right is living in their bubble and they can't stop themselves. They keep building up these fantastical stories after fantastical stories after fantastical stories. And when the rare chance they get called out on it, they basically make up a fake argument and basically try to make the argument that was, you know, see, you misunderstood. It was really this. But know where this end game is going. It's going to be like Pizza Ranch, where a guy went in because the Republicans and multiple Republicans kept insisting that a Pizza Ranch, or not a Pizza Ranch, what was the name of it? Comet Pizza in Maryland was really the front for the Democrats' child kidnapping, child kidnapping ring, where in the basement children were being drained of their blood for satanic rituals, and they kept saying this, and they kept insisting this, and they kept doing this, and some guy kicked in the door and started shooting the place up, and when he said, "Let me in the basement," they said, "The building doesn't have a basement." It was only at that point, after that guy had killed his wife and kids, that he realized, oh, I could have just gotten a divorce from them, not murdered them, had somewhat of a life, and now I'm going to jail for the rest of my life. Oh, well, you misunderstood. I'm just here to save the kids. And that's where you go, and that's where these people are at. But do not underestimate. The worst element of this is the fetish of guns. They want to start shooting their Democrats. They want to act like this is, you know, the some sort of 80s dystopian, Russia's invaded, we got to shoot these guys and save America. And by the way, the 10th Armored Mountain Division, they're going to have fun with you guys. Oh, they are going to be a delight for you. Enjoy. That being said, but that's where it's going. But I also want to make sure we understand, it doesn't always have to be these fantastical stories. I'm going to give you a great example of this on a lesser scale with the Fairmont racetrack that happened over the weekend. And the way that the revisionist history was, no, it wasn't about us being a whole bunch of racist pigs. It was the national anthem. Once again, using a story they made up, a fantastical story that is not true, to justify that we are wrong. It wasn't about our blatant racism, which it clearly was. It was because you guys don't like the national anthem, which this never was about. And I'll get to that in a second. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So if you remember the story from last week, there's an announcer that basically went on a racist diatribe at a race in Iowa. At a racetrack there, got fired for his racist diatribe, but the Fairmont, Minnesota track, which hires him most of the time, defended his comments. Now, I want to start off by saying, Lift Every Voice and Sing is a song that's been described as the black national anthem. The NFL playing that song before games is not the equivalent of saying, all right, white people, you need to stand up for this national anthem. Okay, white people, sit down. Now, black people, stand up for your national anthem. Thank you very much. No one's doing it. It's not like an American-Canadian hockey game where we have two national anthems played. This is a totally made-up, fabricated story. There is no truth to this. There is no equivalency. No one is suggesting the national anthem and Lift Every Voice and Sing are going to be treated equivalently before NFL games. No, it's like Lee Greenwood's songs when they played Proud to Be an American. No one said, oh, well, they're trying to replace the national anthem with that, and the reason why is these same people, well, he was a white guy, and that's why. But needless to say, this Olkey that was down there went out there. Here's the comment that he made. Here's your social service announcement. If you want to stand for our flag, if you're going to take a knee, you're going to feel you have rights, you have the right to remain silent for most of the time, but I got four words for you. He said four. Find a different country, and if you don't do it, get the hell out of Dodge. One, two, three. Never mind. Yes, a lot of people have sacrificed many things for their lives to be able to do these liberties. And if you feel that's all right, well, I don't know. You just don't know. You just don't have a right. I've heard about all the stuff going on in the NFL, and now they're going to have another national anthem for those folks with the, I guess, darker tone skin color. I'll just say blacks. They want a different national anthem, and the NFL is thinking about doing it. So I say, shut the TVs off and let them play in front of nobody. Needless to say, once again, He's making up. No one in the NFL is suggesting it's time for the white national anthem and now it's time for the black national anthem. No one is suggesting that. He has made it up. Now, the racetrack he works at in Fairmont, the Associated Press reported that the Speedway didn't name the announcer who said this down in Iowa, but the Fairmont Raceway in Fairmont, Minnesota identified him on Facebook as Lon Olke, O-E-L-K-E. It was the Fairmont Raceway promoter, Jack McCorkle, wrote that at that point, Olke would be absolutely be announcing races Friday night and would receive a standing ovation before the national anthem for saying that. For saying something so blatantly pulled out of his caboose that has no basis in factual things that is clearly about hate the black people. The black people are going to have their own black national anthem. Black people. And no one is saying that. Just because a song exists doesn't mean you can just make up stories about it and then base that on reality. McCorkle added that he agreed with all of Lon's comments and opinions. And several commentators chimed in with praise of Olke. So that was the story from last week. Well, I have time to get into this with the Star Tribune. Because the Star Tribune, God dang it, you guys fail again on this stuff. Because the entire argument they are making, newspaper, is that this second national anthem, which they insist is going to get played, is somehow a legitimate story that they can then base their reactions on as an excuse. And the first thing a responsible journalist would have done is gone to the Fairmont Raceway and said, by the way, can you point to the news article or the press release from the NFL that says we are going to play two separate national anthems at every beginning of every game, one for white people, one for black people, because we can't find that. So where do you have that? And instead of actually confronting them on the lie they've created to, first of all, put forward an incredibly racist screed, but then to basically try to revise said lie into some defense of the national anthem is grossly irresponsible. You've allowed the lie to be interpreted as the truth. And if anyone at the damn paper would have gone down there and asked them, where the hell's the story about the second national anthem from the NFL that you are basing this on? They wouldn't have been able to answer, and they would have gone, humana, 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 humana. And so you just say, so you're just racist, and you don't want people to recognize black people in any capacity, and you're using this as an opportunity to attack black people. I got it. All right, thank you. That's called journalism. And if I, the talking chimp on this radio station, can point this out, why the hell with all you guys with the degrees over there, the Star Tribune, can't figure this out? Damn it. 952-946-6205. I'll get to the story when I come back. Hour two up next. Broadcasting live from the Rudy Luther Toyota Studios at AM 950 Radio, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Matt and Brett Johnson in with us today. Brett, did you have a nice weekend out there?
I did, yeah. How about you?
All right. Did you catch any of the Olympics?
No, I did not.
Why were they not showing the highlights of our Taekwondo gold medal? That woman kicked that Russian's caboose. I love that. Did you see any of that?
No, I have not watched a minute of any Olympic content, unfortunately.
So the way they do the Taekwondo stuff, it's like the tennis. You play each other and then you kind of, it's a bracket, like the NCAA tournament. The final two were the Russian and the American. American was tall. She was a tall, and so she had the ability to bring her leg up and just clock that Russian in the head. And that's where you get the points in Taekwondo. You're trying to hit in specific spots. And she did. And wow, that was impressive. I was surprised it didn't. I watched a lot of the skateboarding. United States didn't. We got one bronze. We finished in fourth on the women's side with a skater who was, I think, the third option. I mean, she ended up having the best showing of all the Americans. I don't know. There seemed to be some skaters on both the men's and the women's side that seem to be, you know, the apathy of skateboarding, you know, that kind of counterculture mentality that inhabits it. I think it kind of sunk in as they were there and they're like, what am I doing here? And they just didn't seem like to be there. And I'm like, well, you're still competing for your country. Does that matter? Because, clearly the people that do still do that were the ones that are, they are meddling and they're doing better. But they're kind of shrugging their shoulders. And I was like, okay, I think you're going to have to do a better screening process of the athletes that represent. Because in skateboarding, there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, whatever.
A screening process? What, are you going to screen them to make sure they have enough of a personality?
Why are you here? I mean, are you here because you're going to go to the Olympics and you want a free trip to Tokyo? Or are you here because you want to try to win it? Because let's face it, there are a lot of alternates for that skateboarding team that wanted to go try to win it who didn't come. And that's not just, I'm not talking about the United States skateboarding team. I'm talking about a few other countries as well where they're just, like the one guy from Australia who looked like who works at a Subway. And he did. Oh, seriously, go look at the footage. He looks like, you know, their outfits look like he works at Subway. It's not a good look. I kept saying, you want chips with that? You know, as he was going by, you know, it's like, we can double the meat. Yeah, all right, whatever. But there are skaters that would go on out there, and you could tell they just didn't have any heart in it. And what they wanted to do was kind of go on out there and do their best tricks, and they screwed up, and they fell, and they kind of just gave up. And I'm like, well, why are you here? Because there are people that are not here that wanted to be here that were going to willing to try. And I think that's the problem I have with that, because it is the Olympics. It's not just some X Games thing in you know, Colorado. That makes sense?
Yeah. I'm just not a big fan of the Olympics. If I want to watch obscure sports, I usually do the ESPN, the Ocho thing. They do every August 8th on one of the ESPN channels. They'll just show obscure sports all day long.
How you missed the rugby team, though, getting a nice win against Kenya. And they were down, or they had to score with...
Wait, the United States qualified in rugby?
Yeah, and we won a match.
Wow.
Which was amazing, and they won it in the last minute. It was beautiful. Loved that. That was great fun. My family loves the Olympics. I enjoy that. I enjoy that. I mean, it's not fun this year with the pandemic, for sure, and I think that it's misguided, to say the least. I think you could have put it off, and no one would have been too upset. I understand you want your money from Tokyo, but...
I don't think anyone in Tokyo wants it there.
But I've enjoyed that there. Got out a little hot. Sounds like we're going to have some heat stuff coming through. I want to be careful on that. Tomorrow and through Thursday, it looks like heat. We'll have Sven come in later this week. We'll do some weather stuff with him. I don't know, Brett, if you heard the last half hour, but, I mean, as we talked about with the Republicans, because there is this element, and once again, I'm going to be very clear, I am not talking about all Republicans. I'm talking about this extremist far right, which gets all the attention, gets all the media coverage, which is clearly going down a path where they go on out there and make up these fantastical stories about the other side, that Fauci's coming around to not encourage you to get vaccines, but to harvest your DNA and steal your guns and take your Bible and take your house and give it to a black person. They come up with these fantastical stories, and it's becoming more and more clear that when you see the rhetoric that goes around with guns, that they want guns and you want a civil war and we're going to start shooting and you better be ready because we're going to kill you all, that this extreme far right of the Republican Party is really itching to try to find justifications to start shooting and killing Democrats. And that's where this seems to be going at this point. Yesterday, I brought up the point. Michael Flynn goes to a church in California, is given an assault weapon at a church, and makes the comment, maybe I'll go assassinate some people in Washington, D.C., to raucous applause and cheers in a church. It tells you everything you need to know. And of course, now it's like, well, we never said we're for this. We're applauding Michael Flynn. No, you were applauding what he was saying. And when you look at the fantastical stories, not everyone is extreme. Not everyone is coming to kill grandma. But they put out these fantastical stories, and part of it is to try to quote unquote own the libs by putting out something so outrageous that the libs are going, are you serious? And I brought up the story that their conservatives now are convinced that Biden was not allowed to go into the White House by the military on Inauguration Day, on the 20th of January, that he's actually been living in a fake White House on Tyler Perry's estate in Atlanta, and that's where he's at right now. It's completely it's like the moon landing has been faked sort of thing, only it's apparently a White House in Atlanta with Tyler Perry. That's their argument. So sometimes they're just saying, it's just as like, are you really that stupid? And they hear us say that, and they say, yeah, we got him. They call me stupid. Got him. Oh. And they don't realize, no, are you stupid? Because that doesn't make any sense. They just, because they want to own the libs. They're at that point where they've realized that they have to that Trump is lost, that this is bad, but they can't bring themselves to just admit that and realize that, you know, this is not the way forward for the Republican Party. So they are creating more and more fantastical stories, and they're just, it seems like they're trying to get to that end point of the guns. And it's scary. I don't know if you caught that. And once again, not all Republicans, the extreme right, but I brought up the thing with Cliff. Maybe it's time for progressives go into the suburban districts where moderate Republicans supposedly live, who only, you know, put up with Trump because of Reagan standards, and say, is this really the party you're for? You're for gunning down Washington, D.C.? You're for 1-6? You're for basically trying to – telling people – I mean, let's face it. Republicans have basically told people if someone comes by to encourage a vaccine at your house, shoot them. That's what they basically have said at this point. You know, it really is kind of getting down this path. Maybe it's time for us to make sure they realize, well, is this really the path you want to go down? Did you hear that, and did that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You have to eventually go into those guys, yeah, and say, is this really what you're going to do in the future?
Yeah. Is this, you're going to start gunning down people with a rainbow flag next door?
And the problem is, I mean, yeah, crazy people like Michael Flynn saying those things, the people I have the bigger problem with are the ones who enable them, that know it's wrong, but just go along because it's what they have to do to be a Republican. Like a Kevin McCarthy and others.
Well, you remember the pizza Comet Pizza I brought up that last hour? You remember when all of a sudden this guy did it and everyone's like, who told you this? We just had guests on for 3 months that were saying this was going on. We never said we endorsed it. Or when you get to the lawsuits with the Newtown massacre, and all of a sudden they're in a courtroom and they have to say, where'd you come with this? I'm like, well, I, you know, just because I encouraged these people to go on out there and harass these people didn't mean I actually believed what I was saying. And even the Kraken lawsuits. Now, how many of Trump's lawyers from that whole debacle after the election, their entire argument is only a complete idiot would agree, would think that I was telling the truth. And that is their defense. But they don't realize is that there's responsibility for actions, and you can't just go tell a bunch of idiots to go attack a Capitol building and then act as if, well, just because I told them to do it, doesn't they should have realized they shouldn't have and done that. So you heard the story. Now, once again, sometimes these are fantastical to try to get to – these fantastical stories are there to try to create the justification in the minds of the far right that civil war is coming. We need to start shooting people. That's part of it. But another part of it is the owning of the libs. And this is a great story that kind of highlights that element of it. And that's the Fairmont racetrack. And did you hear the story of the Fairmont racetrack?
I did, yeah, yes. Yeah. How they brought this guy back, unbelievably. Yeah.
Well, not only brought this guy back, but after his clearly racist comments, where, once again, clearly racist comments based on a made-up reality that doesn't exist, that has to be part of the story, too. I mean, he made up this guy, this Olkey, you know, he makes it up that they're going to have a black national anthem. Like they're going to say, like I said at the last end of the last hour, that, okay, white people, you stand up for your national anthem, okay. Which would really, if we're going to do this as Republicans think it is, it would be the Lee Greenwood song, I'm Proud to Be an American. All right, let's have the black people stand up for their national anthem. No one's doing that. It's not a Canadian-American hockey game where you play both national anthems.
That's what they absolutely believe, though, yeah. That announcement is being made at NFL games.
I've heard all the stuff going on, and this is a direct quote from Olkey from the Iowa racetrack, where he said this at Iowa, which got him fired from that one and condemned. I've heard about all the stuff going on in the NFL now, and they're going to have another national anthem for those folks for the, I guess, darker tone skin color. I'll just say blacks. How is this not racist? It's all hell at this point. They want a different national anthem, and the NFL is thinking about doing it. So I say, shut off the TVs, blah, blah, blah. And then once again, the racetrack owner, where he works regularly in Fairmont, the Fairmont Raceway, basically said, we absolutely be announcing, he will receive a standing ovation, we agree with all of Lon's comments, and he's clearly saying racist stuff that is made up. It's a fantastical story. There's no truth to this. So, if you are a journalist, the first thing you ask them is, where did you get this story that the NFL is going to have two separate national anthems before every game? Would seem like the logical first question, right? Because that's the justification for all their stuff, right? Let's go to the Star Tribune story, shall we? Days after an Iowa racetrack fired him for a racist rant, track announcer Lon Olkey was back behind the microphone calling the Friday night auto racing card at Fairmont Raceway in the southern Minnesota city. And he's not going anywhere, according to the track promoter, who's standing by Olkey on the controversy of his Iowa remarks. I think perhaps the whole thing was taken a little out of context with social media these days. Okay, stop. No. You, as a matter of fact, went up on social media and defended everything this guy said. So you trying to make it seem like other people are just misunderstanding his wholesome nature. Shut your pie hole. Your sponsors are fleeing you. This is a desperate attempt at you at trying to repaint this as something other than it is. And it keeps going. He's sticking with my guy. This is John McCorkle in a live stream broadcast earlier this month from Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa. Olke criticized, made his racist comments, and they're undeniably racist. You cannot, you can't deny it. But the Star Tribune goes out of his way to say, some people are upset with people taking a knee during the national anthem, which they can do quietly. That is their right, freedom of protest. We do not force people. I'm a veteran of the U.S. Army, a disabled vet. You do not force people to stand up for the national anthem. That's anti-American. If they want to kneel, let them. I don't have to agree with it necessarily, but at the same time, they have the right. But needless to say, as ignorant, stupid white people sometimes do, they look at this as those blacks need to be reined in. That's how they are. And it clearly was the mentality of these clowns down there in it with Olke for sure. And you read his full comments, as well as also the comments the racetrack owner completely agrees with. His original statement. If they want a different national anthem than the NFL is thinking about, he said, I'll just say shut off the TVs. The Algona racetrack cut ties with Olke, saying it does not condone his comments. The Fairmont Raceway, a half-mile dirt track, is on the grounds of Martin County Fair in the city about 130 miles southwest of the Twin Cities. Robin Callender, president of the fair's governing board, said Monday that the fair organization would have no comment on Olke until the board has a chance to meet and discuss the situation. Olke wasn't available for comment. McCorkle, who has promoted races at the track for 3 years, said on Friday night that he would speak for himself. And Olke, I'm of the opinion you should stand for the national anthem, he said. Lund took it a step further. No one is talking about the regular national anthem. They aren't. He was making a comment about a so-called black national anthem, which was implying was going to get played next to the regular national anthem for black people to stand for their national anthem while white people stood for their national anthem. That's not what you're framing this as now. Now you're frantically trying to find some way to validate your point by implying his racist comments about African-Americans are somehow justified because he just loves the national anthem. Your entire story is fake. You made it up. The NFL is not going to play two national anthems. This is just white people trying to scare other white people about black people. That's all this is. And you knew it, and you backed him up. And that's that. He promised that Olke would receive the standing ovation on Friday's races, but there was no ovation Friday or any announcement for the crowd that it should provide when McCorkle said Olke hadn't been comfortable with the plan, adding that Olke has a strong support in the area. I have no doubt. It's kind of that you seem to be very proud of the fact that we're on flabbergasted bigots and racists and we don't care. I get that. I don't think everyone down there is. Once again, this is not about all Republicans, just the delusional ones that get caught making up their fantastical stories. And now they're trying to use the fantastical stories to justify their reaction. Anybody local is basically the same belief we are, McCorkle said. We are in one nation under God, one national anthem, and you should stand for it. Okay, once again, you do kind of, by the way, kind of go back to the racist thing, because that's what you think you, as an ignorant jackass in Fairmont, Minnesota, don't have the right to dictate how the rest of the world reacts. That is just you white powering your way around, trying to give some nobility to your bigoted racist thought process while you try to insist you really are an earnest and sincere person in your heart. Shut up, you racist. Shut up. Seriously, you're the one that stood by his racist comments. So don't come back at me and say, well, you can't call me racist. Yeah, I can. You're the one that said you 100% stand with the guy. Dear Lord. Now, let's once again, we are one nation under God. Well, we are a nation where we have separation of church and state, so you once again trying to force a God on people is not right. So once again, as you get upset because people are kneeling and we need to make sure they stand up, and by the way, they need to praise the God I tell them to, and you need to make them stand, you know, that tells me everything about you. And by the way, and once again, this is not about the national anthem. You guys made up that story. That story isn't true. The NFL is not going to have back-to-back national anthems, one for the black people and one for the white people. That is not going to happen. You made up a story. It was a stupid story. You used that stupid story to justify your racist comments. And now all of a sudden that the world has found out about your racism, now all of a sudden you're trying desperately to repaint this as patriotism. No, it's racism. Doug Peterson, the local farmer who serves as racetrack chaplain, said he'd spoken with Olke about the Iowa incident, and Olke had expressed remorse. He's genuinely sorry. Okay, if he's genuinely sorry, what in the world is he genuinely sorry about? If this was about the defending the national anthem, then why would he be sorry about that? Oh, even he realizes, it was kind of racist-y. He's genuinely sorry, Peterson said. I do know Lon personally, and I do believe he has the love in his heart, not hatred. Lonnie is not a hater. Funny. It's always, isn't it funny how these rural pastors and these lay people coming to the defense of these people who say horribly racist things, all of a sudden, he's a good person in his heart. He's a good person. Aren't the people who are protesting racial injustice in this country by taking a knee, who really do sincerely believe they're trying to make a point and trying to make a statement, aren't they good people? Oh, that's right. You don't say anything about those people, Chaplain. When people come to you and say, can you believe that these people are kneeling? I said, well, they have the right to do that. Are you out there? I don't see you putting out press releases or talking about how those people are good people. He goes on, the chaplain goes on to saying, as a chaplain, I really believe that this time we have an opportunity to show the kind of love that as a Christian nation we need to have. You say words and you can't pull them back. From a perspective, we need to show grace and mercy. We would all treat each other with Jesus taught us. It would go a long way. The only reason you are saying these things is because he said something so obnoxious that was truly horrible, that got caught and picked up on national news feeds, and now you're saying this only to defend him. You're not criticizing him for his original comments. That is disingenuous, and once again, you're misusing Christianity to try to justify sympathy, turning him into a victim, once again, with a story he pulled out of his caboose that has no basis in reality, but he used to justify attacking black people and now is trying to reframe as some sort of national anthem argument. No, it's just you pulled it out of your butt. So, how about that chaplain, by the way? Nice, yeah. It's nice to see that when it comes to white racists basically getting called out for their racism, he's ready to step up and say, hey, guys, can't we all get along with the racists? Always so nice. The Star Tribune failed spectacularly here because the first question you should have asked McCorkle, the first question you should have asked the chaplain is, considering the story he based this on is pulled out of thin air and has no basis in reality, how can you justify the clearly racist comments he used that story to justify? And they didn't. And I said at the end of the last hour, I'm not a journalism major. I'm a talking chimp. Actually, I'm a business major from William Penn. Go fighting mad Quakers. That being said, no. I'm a business major. I'm not a journalist. But if I can look at your story and say, why did you not ask the most obvious question? Where did this story come from of the NFL playing two national anthems, one for black people and one for white people? Because that's not what's going to happen. And you never once felt like you had to ask that question. Come on.
Isn't that the oldest trick in the book? It's the old straw man argument. And the Star Tribune let him get away with it.
And they let him get away with it with a smile on their face, arguing. He's like, hey, you know, some people are upset about kneeling. Who cares? I'm a disabled vet. I fought for their right to be able to do that. I fought for their right to be able to do that. And if they don't like that, well, tough cookies. That's the world. We have freedom, right to protest. And let's face it, it's a heck of a lot more civil kneeling during the national anthem than storming the Capitol building on the January 6th and trying to overthrow the government. Like I said, not everything that these right guys are doing is geared towards getting to that point necessarily of get the guns, we need to start shooting liberals. But these people are living in a fantastical world at this point. And unless we have a responsible media, and I'm looking square at you, you pathetic Star Tribune, unless we have a media that's willing to remember the journalism that their degrees are printed on supposedly exists, well, we are doomed because you just allow these guys to, well, we, you know, the Star Tribune did a story on us and, you know, they wouldn't agree with us. This is about the national anthem. You allowed them to go with the story. If you didn't do your basic research on this story before you went down to write on it, then maybe you shouldn't be in a newspaper. Now, I don't know if you necessarily would be bragging about that paper nowadays too much as it is. 952-946-6205. Way late already. Let's take another break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. And by the way, Lon, sorry, Lon was on. We wanted to call. He said, mentioned that Under God was never in the Pledge of Allegiance. Improving Pledge of Allegiance, was he talking about?
Yeah. It wasn't originally in that.
You know, they added that in there to basically try to manipulate religious beliefs into things. No, and thank you very much. I appreciate it. Sorry you couldn't hold on. No, this is... Loon balls used to be out on Montana compounds surrounded by barbed wire. And that's where they were. We knew where they were. They kept to themselves. And only when we basically were starting to amass stockpiles of weapons did we have to go out there and arrest them and kick their butts. And then all of a sudden, the far right started turning Waco and Ruby Ridge into all these massive injustices and the Bundy people. No, they're basically people breaking the law who are committing crimes, and they tried to turn them into victims, which they were allowed to do because of a complacent media that became manipulated with the idea that you have to present both sides of an argument, no matter how ludicrous said argument is on the one side. That when people say, well, smoking causes cancer, that you have to bring in a bought and paid for scientist from the cigarette companies to say, no, it doesn't. And that is called fair counterpoint. And the reality is that these media outlets have become so addicted to that mentality, the cross-firing of American journalism, that you have to present, no matter how outrageous, no matter how stupid, no matter how blatant the lie is, as equal counterpoint, that is why we're getting to a point where these clowns are coming off their compounds and now are in the streets and eventually might start shooting people. And then all of a sudden, the media are like, well, we told people that these people were crazy, but we didn't really say that. We don't think we have any responsibility. Well, you had a responsibility here in this story. And once again, this is a lesser story, but it's the same thing. You had the responsibility to the reader to ask them the question, your entire argument is based on a lie. Why are you, where did you get this from? Who told you this? Where's the NFL press release? Because the NFL is not going to do this. And that is the basis not only for the racist comments that were made in the Iowa track and the endorsement of the racist comments by the Minnesota track owner, but then when the media explodes and nationally all of a sudden you're a bunch of racist pigs down there in Fairmont, and all of a sudden you hear the track's losing sponsors, well, then suddenly all of a sudden it becomes a situation where you misunderstood. We actually are starting for the national anthem. No one's changing the national anthem. You made that story up, and now you're using the made-up story to try to justify your made-up disgrace. Stop it. And the Star Tribune has a responsibility to go on out there and ask that question. But they refuse to because, God forbid, you go on out there and actually... You go on out there and actually do your job and say, well, that's a lie. You want to know the difference between journalists like Walter Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow and people that actually did their job? Is those people actually had the ability to look at someone and say, you're lying, you're making that up, that doesn't exist. And they don't apologize for bringing that up. You're lying. The NFL is not going to play two separate national anthems before every game. They might play this other song at some point in the pregame. They might acknowledge it. But the same way they did with Lee Greenwood for a decade after 9/11, where they played that song. And no one, especially not the people complaining about the black national anthem, complained about Lee Greenwood's god-awful song. Holy God, was that a piece of crap. Dear Lord, I'll take It's Friday, that song, over the Lee Greenwood song.
It's so bad, I won't even use it as bumper music, even though it's tempting.
Don't!
Yeah,
no.
I know, it's that bad, I can't.
What did I do to hurt you? What's my safe word? Pumpkin patch, pumpkin patch! That's it. Sorry. Sorry. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come on back. I got to, and there's a related story to this, because the Representative Thompson had a press conference today where he says he's not going to resign. I'll get to that, but it's the crazy train that came with him that I've got to get to, because it's nuts. It is, and I'm not talking with him, the woman doing donuts out on the U.S. Capitol grounds. I'll explain in a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Just the craziness of this world right now. And like I said, I started off by talking about how this is like when you watch one of those true crime things and you say to yourself, this guy that's having an affair on his wife with this other girl, where he's working out in the gym and he's trying to get, you know, he wants to have his, you know, side hustle on that, and but somehow is trying to figure out a way to make all this work still. You know, he does realize that there's going to come a point where he's not going to be able to do this, and it just never happens. And then what ends up happening is, yeah, it goes wrong. And I stopped watching because, you know, what you get is a person who becomes so addicted to the lie that they end up going down really dark and horrible paths. And that's just hard for me to watch when a guy kills his wife and kids. Because he doesn't want to think that having an affair on them with another woman is a bad thing, and he starts to keep that lie going. He starts justifying horrible things. Well, that's the modern Republican right now. The modern Republican is desperately to try to keep this Trump lie going. They're trying to justify more and more outrageous and fantastical stories, just to try to own the libs, and then get to that endpoint the far right is at, where they're just jonesing for the opportunity to start shooting liberals, and they want the justice. Like I said, they're going to start hybrid and lizard people that were going to eat my brain. Of course I was justified. Where did you get the story? Well, the Star Tribune wouldn't say, wouldn't that be horrible? That's what the Star Tribune would say. Star Tribune wouldn't question the lizard brain-eating part of that story. They'd, well, we all can agree that would be a horrible way to go, so I guess Cletus over here has a justification. You know, that's the Star Tribune. A decent newspaper would say, can you source me the lizard-eating story? Where did that one come from? Is that a Department of Health story? Where'd you get that one? And pointing out, well, yeah, maybe, just maybe, that's not the way to go. Just maybe. Well, we had another incident of craziness, but I want to get to Representative Thompson, who once again just had the court case. Brett, the court case that came out, was it on Friday, where he was found once again, just he was the charges against him, they found him guilty. The jury did, correct, on that latest case?
I think so, yeah.
Which should be the end of it. I mean, he should have resigned at that point. He clearly has got some issues that he needs to deal with. And that should be the end. On top of the fact that he doesn't seem to know where he lives at times. On top of the fact that – and Michael Broadcorp has boasted about the fact that he's used his current wife as a justification that this couldn't have happened. But public court documents show Representative John Thompson was married to a separate woman until February 22, 2011, just over 10 years ago. This new information further disproves a statement released by Thompson's attorney about the length of his relationship with his current wife, which you would think to himself that – that would be something he'd be able to kind of at least figure out as well beforehand. But at the same time, and I think this is an important element of the story I want to make sure I do state, what brought the Representative John Thompson story to the forefront initially was him getting pulled over and accusing the St. Paul police officer of racially profiling him. And I am going to stand by Representative Thompson and any black person in this metro area all day long. if I can easily understand why anytime that a police officer puts on lights behind you, you would feel like you're being targeted because you're black. Holy God, if you have not read the Rolling Stone article I posted this morning, sweet Jesus. But that's only one incident of many over the last multiple years, multiple decades, forever, of the police department mistreating African Americans. And so it is not my place as a white guy from the suburbs to dictate to black people that they're being irrational when they get pulled over by a police officer when they think they're being racially targeted. In my mind, because of the actions of the police, they are 100% within their rights to feel that way. 100%. And until you guys take cleaning up the police departments as seriously as you do as going after black people that actually dare say, is this racially motivated? Well, maybe you'll actually solve the problem, but God forbid. So today, Representative Thompson decided to have a press conference where he announced he is not going to resign. All right. I guess we're going to do this, even though there clearly is enough infractions here that regardless, and once again, domestic abuse is not something we toy around with. This is not about whether or not he's black or white. This has to do with the fact that he clearly has a lot of issues that he needs to get figured out, including now a guilty conviction of on one of the cases. And so, you know, he needs to go. He just does. But this story got weird, and it got weird because of, once again, a far righto showing up, and I'll get to that. Representative John Thompson, the DFLer from St. Paul, said Monday he will not resign under pressure despite questions about whether he lives in his district and a recent news of domestic violence allegations against him in police reports from 11 to 18 years ago. Thompson spoke briefly, saying he couldn't speak at length due to the legal ramifications and declined to answer questions about where he lives due to safety concerns. So we still do not have an answer on whether or not he even lives in his district. On a side note, at this point, if I am the head of the DFL, Ken Martin, I just go to him and say, okay, we're driving to your house. You're going to walk. We're going to go into your place. I need to make sure you're in your district because that's just that. And that's not, you're not, we're not doing it in public. We're not doing it with a TV crew. It's just you and I. Let's go to your house. Show me you live in your district because it's illegal for you to be a representative for a district you do not live in. And that I can't figure out for the life of me how the DFL has not done that yet, because it's illegal. And the DFL should know where he lives, because that is a prerequisite of holding a seat. And henceforth, that should be something you verified. If you are not careful, this is Thompson, he said. If you're not careful, the oppressor will have to believe they're the ones being opposed. I will not remain silent. I will not be resigning, he said. Thompson made the comments during a tumultuous press conference outside of the state capitol, interrupted when a middle-aged white woman drove a rusty Chevy Trailblazer with a Trump flag onto the Capitol grounds before being stopped by police. She drove this onto the Capitol grounds. The police, who told her to leave and let her go. So, I want to stop right there. Because I want to go back to my point about how black people feel as if there are two standards and when you deal with white people and black people. A loon ball white woman with a Trump flag drives her car onto the Capitol grounds. The police stop her and then let her go. If she was black, she would have been dead or seriously wounded. They would not have questioned. They would have shot first and just been done with it. Let's just be honest. That is the way the police work today in this town. Holy God. This woman drove her truck onto the Capitol grounds, and you did not arrest her immediately? Don't question why black Minnesotans have a question about double standards, for goodness sakes. They told her to leave and let her go. She proceeded to drive back onto the Capitol grounds, spinning donuts on the grass before being stopped by the police, who then took her keys. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. They killed a man in Brooklyn Center because they had so little concern about the life and safety of the man, they confused a taser with a gun. They murder George Floyd in the street at 38th in Chicago because they thought he was on drugs. This woman is on the Capitol grounds, the Minnesota State Capitol grounds, doing donuts in the grass as the cops, I don't know, are they doing like Olympic judging? Do they have scorecards? Oh, that was a pretty good, close to a perfect circle. Let's give her a 10 on that one. Was she trying to make the Olympic rings out there for you? Holy God. And then they said, hey there, white person, give me those keys. Jesus Christ. It's like a mayonnaise convention going on out there. God. By the way, the entire time this is going on, the Thompson press event's going on, and they are outraged at this whole thing. It is insanity. Several officers surrounded her SUV as Thompson's press conference resumed, and she was still in the vehicle when it ended, getting increasingly agitated as reporters and Thompson supporters surrounded the steam. At this point, if I can go to, is it John Corman? Let's see that. Let's see if I can pull him up here. Oh, forgive me. I'm just sorting through my briefs here because I got a few places I need to go here.
Well, while you look for that, just imagine if this was a Republican giving that press conference, and as you said, a black driver showed up and started doing donuts. That would be the main story.
Yes, Croman, the 11 political reporter, he had full coverage of this. I want to go through his Twitter feed on this because this is actually kind of funny. Let's see here. It goes, and he's got some video with it. If you look up on Twitter and Croman, this is the 11 political reporter. Trump supporter named Tammy Joe drives... Tammy Joe. Tammy Joe, seriously.
Any more of a cliche.
Tammy Joe drives onto the state Capitol Mall, interrupting the John Thompson's support press conference. Okay? So that's what the first thing that happens. He then tweets out, woman with Trump flag pulled over by state troopers after driving across the state Capitol lawn during pro-Thompson press events. She's shouting at troopers, okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Everyone, I want you to, are you ready? Get ready. All right. This one is holy God. Okay. This is what Tammy Joe told the troopers on the scene. I am a white woman. There is only one race. Oh my God. I am a white woman, followed immediately by the next sentence. There is only one race. Dear Lord. Oh, my God. When I was mentioning fantastical stories from the delusional far right, ladies and gentlemen, Tammy Joe, I'm a white woman. There is only one race. Croman then, who I can only was just imagine his jaw was on the ground at this entire time. Capitol Security Head Captain Roski assures people the woman will not be allowed to leave. They're waiting for a mental health specialist to arrive on the scene. Oh, that's nice. When it's a white woman, let's get a mental health specialist in here. Let's make sure we're not pulling guns here. Let's make sure we're taking the right approach. It gets worse. Paramedics and mental health specialists on the scene now at the Capitol trying to talk to the woman who drove across the Capitol lawn with a Trump flag to get out of her vehicle. Some of the protesters are saying, this amounts to a case of double standard. Oh, it does. It 100% does. If she was black, she'd be dead or shot at least or dragged from her car as opposed to, hey, let's tell you what. Let's get a counselor on over here. It gets worse. We've agreed the police request to back off a bit because cameras were triggering the Capitol lawn driver. Okay, stop. You are trying to say that Representative Thompson, and once again, I'm not defending Representative Thompson. Thompson needs to resign. But one of the things that a lot of white people are doing is criticizing Thompson for daring to suggest in the city of Minneapolis-St. Paul that a police officer pulling over a black person is that the black person has no right to feel if it's racially motivated in this town at this point. And will criticize him, and as a matter of fact, has gone back and forth about criticizing him. About how dare he even suggest that? But when this woman might get a little triggered because there's some media cameras, the police step in and say, hey, journalist buddies, can you go over there? Tammy Joe's having a bad day. Holy God. Do you guys just not see the double standard? Are you just that willfully ignorant in this entire thing? She was last heard yelling... She was last heard yelling, F Walls, F Carter, I want a lawyer, while clutching a Bible to her chest. Finally, a woman who drove across the state capitol along with Trump flag finally ushered into an unmarked squad car as she did donuts on the grass of the U.S. the Minnesota Capitol. Ushered into an unmarked squad as a protester yells, white privilege, treat her like she's black, put her in handcuffs. Yeah, at the very least, could you slap the cuffs on Tammy Cho? Tammy Cho deserved to get some bracelets today. Dear Lord. And these people, and once again, there are a lot of white people who insist that Thompson has no right as a black man in this city to argue that the police have a double standard when it comes to how blacks and whites are treated. Holy crap. Oh, Tammy Jo. We're following Tammy Jo's story from here on out. 952-946-6205. Let's get this last break in. We'll wrap the show when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Oh, my God. Oh, Tammy Jo. Her direct quote, once again, I'm a white woman. There is only one race. When I say this fantastical story crap, what do you think I'm talking about? What in the hell is going on in that twisted mind of hers? And by the way, have you noticed how many of the 1-6 insurrectionists now all of a sudden seem to have actual legitimate mental health issues? That these people are broken and they are not looking at reality in any kind of normal sense. And they think to themselves they've been encouraged and they've been energized when Madison Crawford or any Minnesota Republican goes out there and tells them, they come to your door with the vaccine. Go out. They're trying to take your guns. Be ready. Have a gun ready. And they're telling you these things and they're kind of encouraging this violence. And they're encouraging this broken view of the world. Vaccines are magnetizing you and they're trying to take you fertile and they're not going to help you. Or they go on out there and say, there's going to be a black national anthem. Or they go out there and say, well, I had to go and drive donuts in the state capitol because black people. They are in this fantastical broken realm where all they are, they're at the point where they either have to admit, wow, Trump lost. I'm going down a real dangerous path. We're going to destroy the Republican Party and things are going bad. Or they double down and they start going down that path of, well, eventually the Republicans are going to need to pick up guns and start shooting people. And once again, this is about the 8th time I've said this show. I'm not talking all Republicans. I'm talking about these extremists who have been allowed to come off their barbed wire compounds out in the middle of freaking nowhere, Idaho, and become major talking heads on cable news. And the media is not doing their job of pointing out reality, that they can't just make up crap, that this is not the reality. And you can't make this crap up to ignore the real problem, like the raceway in Fairmont, where it's only about racism. But now they're trying to make up an excuse that it's about the national anthem when it's not, because that entire argument is a fake made-up one. Or it's this person here who makes this statement, I'm a white woman and there's only one race. Holy God. It is just truly amazing. We are at a point in this country where this is what is considered allowed. And unless we start going out there and saying it's not, and demanding a media that's willing to actually say the sun is bright, it's dark at night. If you don't have a media that's willing to do that and is saying, well, they think it's bright at night, well, they're idiots. And if you can't say that, then you should get out of the game. Native Roots Radio is up next. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.